Coffee Club, Coffee Club. Grind your beans and grab your favorite mug. It's Ollie Morgan, George and Gus. It's them boys from Coffee Club. Boys from Coffee Club.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Coffee Club podcast for episode 184. The boys are back in the studio after George and I had a little outing to Pennsylvania, the city known as Philadelphia, for the Penn 15 relays. And boy, was it amazing. We had a good time, didn't we?
We did indeed. Yeah, Philly put on a show. City of brotherly love.
Right?
I thought you guys were like baking or roasting something. Like you had those beautiful little aprons on, and I thought you guys
looked very cute. That's our uniform, baby.
Yeah, I wanted to go apron, no shirt, just for the vibes, but
just to get more fans out there.
Yeah, if there was a different crowd. Could have drawn a bit of a different crowd, but
honestly, if Tom Wang did that, it'd draw a very big crowd.
Yeah.
So next time, Wom Tang is going to have to get his shirt off.
Really
with the apron
more desperate.
On.
Now Philly showed up for the Coffee Club again. As they have done the last couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. A lot of fun being out there.
The meet was amazing. Thank you very much to On for having us out there and all that. We'll get into that in more depth today. We're going to be talking, there's kind of like a lot of news topics that we'll be going over. We do have, so from the actual episode that we did, it was cool. I guess we'll just get into it. Why not? So we did on the Friday before the race, on races were on Saturday, we did do a kind of live show meet and greet thing. We had custom shirts that were made, which were cool to give away to the fans. We had temporary tattoos, which were really cool to apply.
Got freaking tatted up.
Yeah, we got tatted up. It was cool. And then we did a little live show, sat down, had a chat. And I think we're either going to attach it to the end of this episode, or it'll be a little bonus episode that we'll release after this one. So if you want to check it out, please do. But just a little warning, it is like a live episode, so it's not maybe going to be the crispiest thing that we've ever produced. But alas, it was a lot of fun. And it was special because we did, I mean, it was just a really good, fun episode. And we did have a couple of very special guests on in Parker Wolf and Ethan Strand, two of the hottest commodities in NCAA track and field right now.
Seriously. No, something a bit different. And it was a lot of fun.
Yeah. I think they were super chill. We were under a little bit of stress because they had raced on Thursday night in the 5K, 13:31. I think they had run clocking off regional qualifiers, and then on Saturday they had the 4x mile. So on Friday they had just done their pre-meet, and then they were coming across to the pod. But the weather was beautiful, and it did rain, and the weather got a bit worse on Saturday. But in general, like the weather was beautiful for this trip. So the sun was out, it was warm. And their coach, apologies to Mr. Miltenberg, was, I think, not the happiest that they were going straight from pre-meet to come and do the pod with us, because he would have preferred that they went home and recovered and did all that. So they were very gracious to give us their time and their energy. Yeah, we liked talking with them very much. They were very entertaining. And then we got to watch them go race the next day, which unfortunately they did not win.
Maybe that's why.
We're just hoping that we're not getting the blame for that.
coaches boycotted Coffee Club.
Yeah. No more podcasts.
Yeah, I wonder if they talk shit about us after that. Like that fucking podcast.
I was like, yeah, I didn't see Nathan Green on a podcast on Friday, so I don't know.
It's the part of being good. You gotta do some interviews, you gotta sign some autographs.
Yeah. You gotta learn to be able to handle it all. And then for the rest of the live show we did chatted with George a bit about the race, which we'll talk about more. And then we did a fun little live Q&A cauldron type dealio where we brought people up from the crowd to come and talk about their Penn Relays experiences and also ask questions if they had them. And it was a real fun mixed bag. It was because the thing is, so yeah, thank you so much to everyone who came out and hung out with us there, because it was an awesome time. But where we were situated was in the warm-up track. And so you got a diverse... Well, I mean, not that diverse. Everyone's a track and field athlete there, essentially. But in terms of like how into our universe they are, it's a very diverse mix of people. And I think a bunch of the crowd, it was more happenstance where it was kids who had just competed, and then they were kind of just hanging out there, and they just like saw something happening. And so like, oh yeah, let's go see what's going on. And then a few of them came up and asked us questions, and it was very entertaining. Just like trying to relate to, for example, we had a high school 4x8 team come up, and they were just it's just a different universe, actually.
Well, I guess we'll hear about it later, but I'm curious to see what the questions
were. Well, their question was pretty much, how do we not give up in a race? Because they came up and they said, yeah, because the way it worked for the high school, because they have so many teams competing, they actually have multiple, they have like, I think, heats and finals or something like that. And so like they were like, yeah, before, like we saw the heat before us ran 7:40. So we knew we weren't going to make it. So they pretty much given up. And then like their first runner said he went out really hard and then died. And the second runner was just like, yeah, I was just like, I just gave up. It's pretty much a lot of that. And they were like, how do we not give up? And we were trying to like give them advice. And I don't know. We tried. I don't know if we succeeded.
Did you just say be better?
Yeah, run faster.
Run faster.
You know, we actually gave decent advice. The most entertaining was probably shout out to Ference.
Yeah.
Legend.
He was great.
Frank, who is, I don't know if you maybe ran into him in St. Moritz last year, Ollie, because he was there for a little bit hanging out with shooting blanks, but he's a runner on the Harvard team. Super good runner. I think 3:37.
Hungarian.
Trying to meet a guy from Hungary. He asked us advice for regionals, and we're just like, yeah, probably just like trust your coach. We don't want Gibby to come in and kill us.
Yeah. Just listen to what Gibby says.
Exactly.
So,
thanks everyone for coming out and for sharing the rest of the time.
Yeah,
saw some other people just in town. Some coffee club shout outs.
Yeah, it's always good. It's a really cool running town. And so shout out again to On for helping us set up, and of course Tom Wang for all the lovely work that he did. He made things happen, made it run smoothly. So overall, really fun. Hope to do it again next year.
I actually wish I brought that apron back. For the kitchen.
I think we should. I mean, I think
I cook in an apron like every night. I'm not going to lie. I love wearing an apron.
With a shirt or no shirt?
Depends if Jenna's in the kitchen. Yeah. If Jenna's in the kitchen, depends then definitely what kind of night
wear. Sometimes it gets a little wild out up there, yeah. I've heard.
I can't comment on that.
Bit of spillage. Yeah. Sometimes a bit of spillage.
But yeah.
Actually, nothing else on. Just only that.
That's what I've been picturing.
Your cheeks hanging out.
That's a lot.
Man, that, I can't wait for when you host a potluck. It's going to be fun.
I mean, if we ever sell the aprons as a fun little merch idea, I think
that's obviously going to be the photo shoot, right?
Or if we were to do a calendar as well.
Oh, shit. That'd be good.
Classic calendar.
That'd be really good.
I think we already know how those are going to go. But yeah, awesome. Philly, cool running town. It's crazy how many people are out there running on the river path. And it's funny. Like, so we're around Yared a lot, obviously, and his level of fame has just eclipsed anything that I've ever experienced before in terms of runner fame. Like, I ran with him. I mean, just when you're at the meet, it's like, he's so good about it. He is, but it's like, everyone wants to take a picture with him, like literally everyone. And then if you run with him on the river path, it's all people who are just, I mean, they're runners, but I think they're mostly like normal people. They're all just staring at him and they're just like losing their shit, just recognizing him.
He's just like past the line of like, being well known in the avid fan world to now he's just well known in like just the vaguest running fan or even like you're slightly known about running.
Like you're American Olympic fans, I think.
Past running, I think.
Yeah.
He's just freaking.
He's very recognizable too.
That's what Cynthia was saying. That's
very recognizable.
Because I was put this
so distinctive.
I put this question forwards to a couple of the teammates. And that was Cynthia's response was, yeah, he can't hide. He's so recognizable. But I said, who do you think is more recognizable out of him and Cole?
He is, 100%.
Yeah. Even though Cole won a gold medal?
I think yes. Like in the sense of if you were around and you saw Cole for a good period of time, like say a good period of time is like 3 or 4 seconds. Like
maybe recognizable is not the right word I should have used there. Maybe more famous. Who do you think is more famous out of Cole and Yard?
Yard.
You think so?
Well, I think Cole has kind of kept it on the DL. Like
I reckon he's got a lot more Instagram.
He's got a lot more Instagram and he does do a lot of things, but like I think Yared's persona is just, and this is nothing to diss against Cole, but Yared's persona is definitely more engaging.
And On does a great job at
like
highlighting
like
Yared.
The tortoise stuff and the way he talks about like his Taylor Swift obsessions and all that sort of stuff. His dental school stuff, like the Olympic page like recently did like a yeah. They did like a little piece on him and he's an interesting person. So I'm not saying Cole's not interesting, but Cole's probably not had the same level of like marketing on his personality side. Because I know Cole makes music and he does all these different things, but he doesn't. It doesn't get kind of marketed by Nike that much.
Nike's got a lot of medalists.
So Nike doesn't market Cole as much as On markets Yarrod. And definitely I think Cole is not as recognizable because Yarrod's a very distinctive looking bloke and he's tall. Like, I think he's very easy to spot out. Whereas Cole, like if he had a hat on and he's running like, you know, AirPods on, he just zips by you.
You look pretty normal.
Yeah. Sometimes you don't recognize him. So I feel like for that, that makes, and also I think the one thing with Yarrod too is when people see him and they recognize him and they come up and get a photo with him, he's probably not as intimidating as, I feel like Cole would be more intimidating to get a photo with.
Yarrod definitely handles it really well. I think Yarrod's,
because of how well he handles it, people are much more probably inclined to come in. Not saying Cole doesn't handle it well, but maybe Cole's a bit more aloof.
I saw Cole punch a fan in the face one time.
Yeah, that was me.
Oh, that was you?
Yeah.
I thought, he didn't handle that situation very well.
Yeah, well, I asked for a photo and he punched me in the face.
Yeah, okay.
That's because I stole some of his music, though.
That's a big no-no in the rap beat
community. In the rap beat community, yeah.
Well, yeah. Moving on to Saturday, which was, this was the one day that where all the big races were for us, but it was also the day where the weather was very up and down. It was it was like windy at certain points, and then it was very rainy at certain points. If you guys saw the coverage of, for example, the 4x mile, it was very, very rainy.
It was terrible. Fucking torrential.
It was even more rainy, but luckily,
throwback to us.
Yeah, but luckily, yeah, it was like that for us back when we raced it.
Luckily, no lightning to delay it, though.
No lightning to delay. And then also during the main pro section of the meet, actually good weather.
Where there was such a lucky window of like 25 or 30 minutes where it just cleared up super briefly.
Mm-hmm.
And
what God did you pray to?
Who controls the weather?
Whatever. Well, there is a God that controls the weather.
Gus, I think.
Pray to Gus.
Mm-hmm.
No more slobber on the track.
But,
like that.
Yeah, we had the Ben Franklin mile lining up.
The developing
Olympic
Olympians.
Development.
The Olympic development.
I'm calling it the developing Olympians because there was a few Olympians in that race. So it was just developing.
They're still developing.
I don't know why they need to add that to the front of it. The Ben Franklin mile sounds sick.
Yeah, I don't know either. I think because they did that for the 1500, the mile, the 800. Do they just do that for all
I think every pro season.
They do that for the money.
Just to differentiate it from like the men's champ, because men's championship generally is like the premier college section. So maybe because they already have championship taken, they just are like, all right, these guys are pros. They go to the Olympics.
What if they put some like couple of stupid words in front of like the Bowman mile?
Olympic development Bowman mile.
You don't need to add words in front of it.
You're completely right.
Development.
Ben Franklin says it all. Like, come on, guys. It's Ben Franklin. What more do you need to say?
Was Ben Franklin, did he even know what the Olympics were?
Probably he was pretty read.
Pre-Olympics? Like,
not modern, the first one.
Pre-modern Olympics?
Yeah.
How old is Ben Franklin? Is he actually like a founding father?
I don't know.
One of the founding fathers. He's got his face still, up on
So doesn't that mean like 17s?
Yeah.
Is he still around?
He's old.
I want to say he's not.
Yeah.
If he is, he's old.
My instincts
no. Is he the guy on the money?
Benjamins.
He's
on the Benjamans.
Yo, he is must on the be. Money.
And Benjamins on the $100, right?
I feel like otherwise you wouldn't say Benjamins if you were like talking about ones. That wouldn't.
No, that's Linky.
Is he? He's on the one?
Linky's on the one, yeah.
Well, you know your money well.
And then Benjamin Franklin.
Because having Benjamins is like a flex.
Thomas Jefferson's on the five.
So if you just had ones, like you wouldn't flex that. Are you making this up? How did you know this?
Huh?
What about 10?
On the 10?
I'm going to Google and see if Ollie's just the 20. Out his ass.
It sounds like it's all found.
Actually, no, Benjamin.
Is Washington on one?
George Washington's surely. On. Benjamin Franklin's on the 100. I think George Washington's
about,
on a 10
what
or
about
20.
Josh Kerr? Did he get on one?
Right, Josh Kerr's on the new $250 bill.
You're slightly off. Wait, what did you say was
you
on
said
the
it
one?
Confidently, so I blinky.
One is Linky.
Yeah, not quite right.
Oh, wait. George Washington's on the one.
Correct.
Linky's on the penny, isn't he?
Maybe as well, but he is on a note.
Five.
Correct.
And then the 10 is...
This is a $2 bill. That is the thing, right?
Yeah, I believe it is.
I don't think I've ever seen
it's
one.
It's like, do you know what, like a
Sacagawea... The other guy is on the two.
Sacagawea dollar? Not Benjamin Franklin. Who was the other one?
Lost.
What
about... Thomas Jefferson.
Makes sense. And then isn't Teddy Roosevelt on one?
No.
No?
He's not old enough, right?
I don't know. I don't know. I just...
The other ones I don't know. Alexander Hamilton, Andrew Jackson. I don't know.
I was going to guess Hamilton.
He's on the 10.
Andrew Jackson?
Yeah, he's on the 20.
Who the hell is that?
He's a president.
And someone, Grant, is on the 50.
Fisher?
Fisher, yeah, that makes sense. Actually.
I mean, Grant Fisher. Grant Fisher's on the 50 and the Benjamins is the 100.
It's a lot of honor to be the face of the American $100 bill. So good job to Ben Franklin and good job to securing the title sponsor of the mile race at the Penn Relays, because it's an awesome race.
Mm.
And yeah, it was a great field lined up there. I think, did you know what the pace was going into it? Did they announce that to you guys?
151.
That's, I think that's what we went through.
That's what you guys went through, I think.
I feel like maybe Ritz mentioned it. That it was,
but you were like, the not important.
I don't think I was even listening. It had a one at the front, 150 something.
I hope it did.
Or he said 350. No, he said 352 pace.
That's pretty
cool. So I guess like 156, 157.
But you guys went through in 158.
I think the pacer was 157 or 8.
Yeah, I think
the
you guys.
The splits of Penn are like non-existent.
Dude, the splits
don't make any sense, and sometimes they're actual quarter mile splits.
I looked at the results and I did not understand any of it. Well, yeah. You guys slowed down the third lap.
No,
we were already going slow. I think
the second lap was slow.
From the splits, though, it said that your third lap was the slowest.
What were the splits, Ollie? Do you know?
It said 158, and then you guys went 302.
That can't. No, only the pacer was 158.
That's what I'm saying. The splits were probably
off. But also,
off.
I think it was a classic situation of like, I think the first lap was 58.0 at the 409, and then I think it was a 60. You know, I think it was that type of.
Because like the way the splits were, it's like there's no way you guys went from 158 to running a freaking 64. There's just no way.
I just think the splits are always like Falcon City at 600. You saw like 127 or something.
Yeah, it was just
something. He was
did you see Nathan Green's finish? He didn't know.
He ran so far past.
And also, apparently, for the 600, the actual pro 600, they started them at the wrong line. I'm not sure if that's true or not.
I think this is like why Penn can't have like a Diamond League or something,
but it can have a Grand Slam.
It is getting slammed, yeah.
It is getting slammed.
Hopefully they get it right there.
Yeah.
It's because the lines just don't make...
Because you're running in lane four.
They had a tape for Nathan Green's DMR win, but then they didn't have one for the 4x mile. So he just kept going. He went through like three different lines.
Well, I was watching, because I was right at the finish line, and I was watching them do the tape, and half the time they messed up like getting the tape out, and then they just had to bail.
We didn't have a tape.
Yeah, they just bailed. I think because they
couldn't get it up.
They were like trying to roll it out, and it's like, this isn't working. So then they just bailed.
How can they be that badly organized?
But the amount of people finishing your race too, they're probably terrified of like knocking someone over.
Would have needed a long tape.
Yeah, because it was pretty wide.
Quite a few lanes.
Pretty wide. But anyway.
George found himself at his towards the back of the pack, at times at the very back. Did you feel comfortable there? Or were you like, how was that return to racing feeling?
The return to racing. It felt good to be back out there, honestly. And it was a nice feeling. I'm not sure if I planned to go all the way to the back, but I was pretty happy if I ended up there. I think just had enough confidence that it wasn't going to be a 350 race and I wasn't going to get left behind if I was at the back, and enough confidence that I could make up ground in the second half that I was pretty happy back there. Ritz, when I came around the first lap, Ritz was already telling me, he's like, you should probably move up a little bit.
You could hear him yelling at you.
And then that was when I was in second to last. And then a lap later, I was in last. So he said move up a bit and I lost a place. But Mario was also asking me that because he said he heard Ritz.
Really?
Telling me, he was like, yeah, dude, how far back were you? I think I was in last,
actually. As far back as you can be.
But I just had a good feeling that the third lap was probably going to slow down a bit. I just thought there was no one that was really going to like squeeze it from there. And I was like, there's no point moving up in the first or second lap for it then to slow down. And I would have just been there anyway if I had just chilled. So that was kind of just a decision. And it felt like pretty easy and pretty comfortable at the back, which was nice. We weren't going very fast. It was like you said. And then had to made a little bit of move just at 400 to get around a couple of people that were either slowing down or quitting.
Yeah, the biggest surprise was Luke Hauser because he's coming off a literal medal at World Indoors in a competitive
100. It also seemed like that his type of race because he does do well off.
He's got a big kick.
Big kick.
Really, yeah, I definitely had one eye on him.
Yeah, because you'd think, I mean, his racing was quite good off that. So it was interesting to see him not respond to that considering, but he must be a bit, when you are, sorry about that. It was like mid-yawn that I didn't yawn. When you've come back from like a world championship medal, I can imagine there's a bit of...
maybe he took some time off or something. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. I definitely had an eye on him because he was only one or two players ahead of me. So I was like, all right, if he makes a big move...
You got to go.
I should probably follow him. And also had an eye on Sam Ellis because he just ran 3:35 at Brian Clay with Nathan Green. So he's definitely in good shape. And yeah, so... I'm not sure how much ground I had to make up and at a lap, but started moving a little bit on the back straight and then was feeling pretty good about it, about the positioning still with like 200 to go. I was like, I think this should be fine. And then started to run quite hard at like 150, or what I thought was that.
Because the rest of the pack didn't really start. They didn't kick from like 400, I would say.
It didn't seem like it.
More, it was more like a last 200, 250.
Probably. That's kind of what it felt like back there. And then I got to the end of the curve and I was like, holy shit, the finish line's right there.
Yeah, it's like 50 meters.
So it's literally like 50 meters.
Straight.
And so then I had to run really hard 50 meters and swing very wide, which was fun. And I mean, I said in the podcast the day before, like, you know, just wanted to get out there and enjoy the last 200 and kind of enjoy being back out on the track racing again. And got the timing just right. It was one of the more ridiculous ones. Like,
it's pretty close.
Yeah, I left it pretty close, and I would have felt pretty dumb if I had got it slightly wrong. I actually didn't know if I had won or not. I was like 80% sure that I'd caught Sam at the line, but there was definitely like, I definitely had to look up at the screen for a sec to make sure.
It was so close in the end. Makes sense.
Because last time I had time to celebrate with 20 minutes to go, and I timed it much better. But that time I'd got way closer by the time I got to 200. Like, I was kind of almost on them. And so then by the time I got to 100, I didn't have to move as hard. This time I left a lot later. And so I almost got it wrong.
Yeah. Well, no better way to return to racing than with a textbook George win. Pretty damn awesome over, as you mentioned, a very informed Sam Ellis, who also got DQ'd. Hashtag free Sam Ellis.
Hashtag free Sam Ellis.
I know. how do I protest the protest?
I was interesting to see him get DQ'd because then even like Joe and me and Kai were talking about it. I was like, we were trying to dissect how that was even possible for him to get DQ'd because we didn't really see anything. But
yeah, we looked at the tape. Apparently, Holt the Bolt put in a little protest against him. I don't know. No comment, but...
Holt put a protest in on him.
No, you can comment.
No comment, but that was a pretty weak DQ.
Wait, so...
I feel for Sam Ellis.
I thought it was just the referees saw it or something like that. No,
but I think it was a protest. Yeah, so, I mean, especially for Sam, because he's someone who's like, he's performing really well this year after like a year or two of not getting the results he wanted. So, I mean, more fuel to the fire for him, I suppose. We had Mario in it as well, who he had a pretty solid race coming back, I think. I mean, obviously, he would have liked to win or come second, ideally, and he ended up fourth or fifth. So still a little bit of work for him to do, but a good way to return to racing for him. But overall, very exciting race. I think third place was Charlie Donovan. Well, it depends if
Villanova.
It depends if you count the DQ or not.
He was one in front of Wes Porter, the UVA, who was third, now second.
So, yeah.
He was in the DMR with Gary at NCAA Indoors, but didn't have outdoor eligibility.
Dude, that's honestly crazy from Holt the Bolt, because if anybody's a big fan of Eric Holt the Bot, which we all are, he's a messy racer.
That I was about to say.
He's a messy racer. So like you get near him, you could go down. And everyone knows putting a protest was an interesting move by him.
That dude takes up like a whole lane at least.
A lane and a half at least. Yeah.
Big shoulders.
I'm pretty sure last year I almost fell over a couple of times from him behind me. But
so that's a bit ironic.
Well, it's a bit, I mean, it's a bit surprising, to be honest.
We think that's what happened. I don't think we can say with 100% certainty, but I think with 80 to 90.
I would be surprised. I thought it was the refs or somebody saw it. But if it was a protest from Eric, man.
Also, what do you expect in a
1500 race?
Basically a tactical,
a tactical mile.
Finish like that.
Where there's going to be like eight
guys. Was it during the finish?
The last like 50 meters.
I got to rewatch it.
Why did you turn on to the straight?
I didn't see anything. I got
to
watch it.
But like, obviously. There's going to be a lot of people. It's going to get physical. That's racing.
You're lucky you didn't get DQ'd, George.
What for?
Going too wide.
Too many lanes.
Yeah, you're using too many lanes. You're going too wide. There's a protest.
There's a DQ.
Last time I got up the inside. So
that's what she said.
Were you looking for the inside, or were you like, no, this isn't happening?
It's too late by then. No, I was so far. That was way far gone by then.
That's funny. That's funny.
Maybe I think Mario was blocking it off too this time.
He knew.
Yeah.
Smart.
No, it was. It was go wide or not at all. But that's still fun. I kind of felt like it was going to be fine with just over 100 to go. But it wasn't there as much as I thought it was going to be. I thought they weren't getting as close to me as normal. And, but I mean, that's fine.
Lots of good athletes.
They're silly and the guys are good and, no, happy to get my hands back on that trophy, get my name back on there again. It's actually a really sweet trophy. Like, that's a fun one to win.
Yeah, Ben Franklin knows how to make a trophy.
Yeah. Roger Bannister's on there.
Yeah.
1951, running for Oxford. I saw Murray Helberg's on there. He's a legend from New Zealand Olympic champ in the 50s, I think. And I don't know, a bunch of other guys. I'm not sure if I found any Aussies on there.
Well, Yared won it last year, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's on there.
So
yeah, keeping it in the OAC family.
Yeah,
we're unbeaten.
That's what we did with the Emsley Cup. Oh no, Yarrow didn't win that. Never mind, because it was a 1500. They switched it.
Yeah, true.
If he did, that would have been cool, because then he would have been in the book. If signed the book and everyone's in there.
Yeah,
that's cool. That history of the mile stuff. I like that stuff.
It's really cool.
I do that with some of the.
That's why really the Pan Relays is so cool. And I guess this is what they're trying to do with Grand Slam, but obviously it's going to take a long time. It's
like 50 years.
Yeah, 50 years. There's just not that many races that are not a literal championship race that you, it's actually just cool to win. Like the fact that Penn Relays has the, like for the mile, it has, you know, and the women's 1500, like they have trophies. And then for all like the big relays, they have a wheel. And it's like actually means something to go win a wheel, which unfortunately you can't say that about many like races in our sport that are not handing away like actual medals because they're a championship.
Like Diamond League Final is probably the only one. Other than Grand Slam, because getting that trophy is pretty sick.
Yeah, like there's definitely other ones that are out there.
But it's harder to get.
But it's cool to have stuff like that in the sport, you know?
That's more of a pace race anyway.
It's more meaningful. And that's, I guess, what, yeah, Grand Slam wants to have that.
What's
eventually.
Their trophy?
I think it's just a $100,000 bill with Joshko's face on it.
I think it is just an envelope. Yeah. But you also can't just like convince someone that
it does take
something
time.
Means something.
You know what they should
like,
do?
You can't. That has to happen naturally.
If
like,
you win Grand Slam, particularly for the 800, 1500, what they should do is they should give you a USB thing.
USB.
And you plug it in and it's a little video and every single person in that race that you beat have to go, congratulations to you. You beat me. You are blah, 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 blah. Can you imagine having that on repeat?
That'd be very, very
meaningful if Jared won and he just had Josh Kerr and Cole Hocker saying, congratulations, Jared. You beat me. You were the better runner. Congratulations. Yeah. Yeah, we'll just sleep
idea.
Peacefully.
Hopefully little, they can integrate that.
Yeah. So MIRBA, membrane, you can take that idea. It's free.
But we had a couple of other amazing OAC performances at the Penn Relays as well, right before George. It was the women's 1500 and Josette put on an absolute show. I think we've been kind of mentioned like what form, you guys saw in indoors what form she was in, but it's particularly even coming into outdoors, we knew that she was in amazing form and she's about to head to Indiana to also compete in the USA Road 5K Championships, where you guys will probably see it again. But she really displayed some absolute ability, running 4:01 to win the women's 1500, closing very quickly.
61 last lap.
Yeah.
That's legit.
Yeah, she's good. And she's trying to get a spot in one of those last two Grand Slams. So hopefully,
at this point, she's got to go to the Philly one. Like,
yeah,
look at how she runs in Philly.
Yeah.
We said that last week. It's basically a hometown race for her.
She absolutely put on a show.
That's like almost running the standard. Like half, not that she already has.
What is the standard for women's 15?
4:01, 4:05.
Yeah, one of the, but like pretty close. And man, if she had. Especially couple extra people to race,
lap, and their second lap was slow.
She's almost going sub four, like Faith,
I think.
Bro, so I put in the notes. Should we talk just quickly about Faith? I think it's a good time.
I went on a divergent because I just saw that opportunity to make a joke.
It must be mentioned. It has to be mentioned.
Do you guys know? Is this like? Because they announced they're doing it in Paris, but it's not at the Paris Diamond League. I think it's something separate. But
well, I thought it was.
Is it at the Diamond League? But is it going to be, and it's not going to be a certified race.
I think it's going to be a Kipchoge situation where they might even do a wind tunnel. They'll give her like 13 plate
spikes. Do you think someone could be pushing her?
Yeah, they called me up for it. Yeah. They called me up for it.
Really?
Yeah.
Are you going to do it?
It depends how much money they're putting out. But
are they having male paces? Is that like part of it?
Yeah.
Or robots. One of those two.
They got the Elon Musk robots.
Unless, I guess they could have female paces if they're allowed to do literally what Kipchoge like did, where they can do one lap in, one lap out type scenario.
Yeah,
or maybe 100 meters.
Do you think it's possible for Faith to do it? I mean, she's an amazing athlete, but it's sub four is kind of insane. I think her PR is like 4:06,
4:07. I think it was last year. That was one of the most amazing runs of all time.
Yeah,
to do that. So 7 seconds in a mile.
That's a lot.
That's a lot. She just ran in the Chinese Diamond League a
2:29,
which is slower than sub four or on sub four pace.
Maybe fractionally slower.
So
I was trying to think what can a college freshman, high school boy just breaking four for the first time, running 2:59, like what can they run in the 1K? Because it's definitely faster than 2:29, right? Like, how much faster is it?
They're probably low. They're probably a low 150. Like, for a freshman boy to be running sub four in the mile, they're definitely running under 155 in the 800. Probably more like 152 at least. You would think.
But right. I guess
Faith is going to be coming at it slightly more strength based than that.
Yeah, like maybe
she's going to have to just run.
She could be training hard through China, maybe. She might be just training really hard through it.
The main thing is she's got, I don't know, 2 months to get a lot fitter, hopefully.
It's in June, I think. So it's not, it's 6 weeks. Yeah, but it's.
That's what I'm training for.
I think the thing is, Faith's performances are already absolutely the legendary, greatest of all time. So it's like, she doesn't actually have to do any crazy performances. And I think those last 7 seconds are all going to come from gimmicks if they do happen.
Yeah.
Which still will be cool to witness, but it's going to be same as the Kipchoge thing where those last 7 seconds are going to come from gimmicks. She's like, her 4:07 is enough.
Yeah.
It's more than enough.
To be honest, I think it's just a stupid marketing play by Nike. I think it's just a Nike thing.
But is it stupid marketing or is it like pretty good? Because we're talking about
it's probably, edge of being like pretty good. But in general, they're probably thinking, okay, we need to market something for Nike.
I love it for her though, because she's won. I mean, for her, she's got the world records and she's won 3 gold medals in a row. So it's like,
it was the same as Kipchoge. Like, Kipchoge's won all these marathon majors. They're just like, let's do something that we can.
So I do love it for her. And
I also think it's fine if she doesn't do it.
Definitely.
Like, just by trying and putting on a show.
Don't you think she'd want to do it with that gimmick, though? Don't you think she's like that type of athlete that would be like, I don't want to deal with people saying, oh, yeah, but I had this, or yeah, I had this. I feel like she's the type of athlete that's like, I want to do it the best I possibly can if I can do it or I can't do it.
I don't think Kipchoge's saying that.
No, I meant Faith saying that, not Kipchoge.
Well, you don't think they just have the same thought on it?
No.
You know them?
No, I think it's completely different.
I was talking to Faith and she told me she didn't mind.
I was actually talking to Kipchoge and he said he did mind. So I can't wait for their UFC debut, actually. It's next week.
Okay, so sorry. Me too. That's going to be amazing.
They have a UFC debut. Can you imagine them fighting each other? It'd be hilarious.
Yeah, everyone forgot that the first sub two failed. Everyone forgot about that.
Because then he did it again and it was fine.
Yeah. So, yeah, it doesn't have to see.
I mean, it's the same with Chris Chavez, like when he went for, but what was it? Like the sub 3 hour? He couldn't do it in New York and then he did it in Houston.
Is it? Yeah.
Yeah. True. So like people will remember when you do it right, maybe this year she doesn't get it, and then the next year she does it.
Yeah.
Potentially.
So it is cool.
So it is cool, but I would think that, yeah, it'd be nice to do it without all the gimmicks, but...
What are these gimmicks? What are we suggesting?
She's going to take a lot of...
I reckon they have to have the... I just think maybe on camera this would look too bad, but I think she has to have the wind tunnel car in front of her. I think she has to have the car in front of her.
They could have it just out of frame.
Yeah, just have the camera on that, so it's like you can't really tell.
They have it in there, and then they have a DJ in there with the light show going out of the thing, and it's like doof 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 doof.
But they kind of like for what the event is, they kind of do need the pacing lights, like what? But their advanced version,
even more than lights. Yeah, like instead of lights, full like a robot.
Like Kipchoge had.
Yeah,
they like you kind of Kipchoge had a robot.
Kipchoge also had illegal shoes. Do you think? They make like an
illegal shoes.
Illegal pair of spikes.
If they could, I don't think they have that technology. Maybe they do, I don't know.
Wouldn't put it past them.
They just do the, like Fortnite, they give you the chug jog splash and you like, you know.
If she could take really a chug jog, that would probably
help. That could help her.
So maybe speak to Fortnite about developing that for real life. I think a big truck in front of her will help. And what else?
Crowd.
Nice I think crowd. You got to have everyone on lane 5. I guess if the trucks...
I feel like it has to be at the Diamond League then. Where, how else are they going to get people to go?
Just because it's an amazing event, I guess.
Maybe Nike will like put it up for free. You can just rock up.
You know, in like a movie, like they have like extras, maybe that type of scenario.
They have cardboard printouts of people just in the stands.
They have like the, you know how the paparazzi, they have like the flashing lights thing. That's like not actually people's cameras, but it's just a strobe light. Maybe they'll have that.
They could have that, yeah. The Paris Diamond League loves world record attempts though.
I mean, definitely the guy would want it there. So maybe it will, because he'd probably be doing everything he could to have it there. Because, obviously amazing thing to have at your race. Who wouldn't
want it? Even if she doesn't run like sub-4, she'll still run the world record. So,
but it won't count.
Oh, yeah, because she's wearing the shoes and the tunnel and the truck. And
yeah, I actually haven't looked in the details.
The robots and
assumptions.
The robot. It sounds like we're describing a science fiction film.
We are.
Yeah. It is. It's going to be a science experiment.
This is it.
Yeah. No, I mean, it'll be interesting. I think she doesn't do it first attempt. Oh, Geordie, the pessimist.
Yeah, last week I was
because
saying
maybe they
I
don't use a track the first time.
And then
they'll learn from it like they did with Kipchoge and then next time. Yeah. I'm just saying first attempt. I'm going to be the negative.
You know who she does need pacing her because she's helped her break a world record before?
Sage?
Sage. She needs Sage, her lucky charm. Get Sage out there. Fly Joe and Sage out. You got to have them. You had them both there. The Herder Collector's got to be there. And then you get like Jambar, like all over the track and stuff. And they can sponsor it.
All the athletes did get flown out to the last, the Kipchoge one. That was pretty sweet.
Yeah. We'll get flown out to do the documentary. We'll get flown out to do the commentary.
And the documentary.
We're going to film it and then we'll have the rights and hold it. And then we'll sell it to Nike for $1 billion.
Sounds like a good business plan. No. All right, stay tuned. Stay tuned for our updates as information does become more available. But yeah, Josette absolutely smashed it. Maybe she'll be at the sub-4 as well. Sit on faith and then I'll kick her at the end. You never know. But the final big dub that our team got was Mr. Robert Falcon in the 800.
He looked good.
Yeah, I mean, he is an 8:15 guy. Like, that's what he does. I don't know if that was a PB.
It was actually a PB. 145 high was his previous PB. He ran 145.4.
Yeah.
Something like around
a couple tenths of a second.
He assured me that he can run quicker. So we'll see quicker from Robert Falcon.
I'd say he definitely looked like he could have.
Yeah. Looked great.
He's very, very fast. But even then, he did look like a 1500 meter runner running an 800 in terms of how much room he gave them. But also, everyone else went out really, really fast. And then obviously died because then Falcon passed them all.
Yeah.
So he was the first one across the line, which is the name.
That's how you win the race. I mean, he does look like an on model, like in that speed suit. He looked unreal.
Yeah, he looked the speed suit.
The new kit looked good on him.
Yeah.
Did. I loved. There were some pictures, the close-ups where you could see his nipples, which I really liked. Actually, there was a picture of George.
Oh, yeah, I saw the picture of George.
His singlet was going a bit to the side.
It was only like,
and you could see a tiny bit.
Only like half a nipple.
It was like a little sliver of nipple.
It was not a full nip slip.
Did the race kit feel good, George? Or feel the same?
Yeah, the jersey was very nice. I wore the half tights because it was raining. I probably would have gone shorts. Mm. I'll probably go shorts.
You didn't want
when I steeple.
You didn't want that. You didn't want something. You didn't want to do a yard de goose and have a little mishap.
What happened to Jared?
Cross country, college.
What happened?
He's beaten two veg came out.
Yeah, you don't want that.
That happened like last week at the track too. Oh, did Jared's meet two veg? Think while you were gone. Well, you know what? Either at the track, Jared's meet two veg came out.
This happened at the track. I shouldn't say
that. That's
at
high school, bro.
I shouldn't say that.
Yeah, but it was an accident. It wasn't intentional. It wasn't like that's he was like, "Hey say. Guys, check this out." Like, it was an accident. It's malfunctioning. It's the malfunction. It's a wardrobe malfunction. That's happened at like the Golden Globes and shit.
It happens to the best of us.
Yeah, it happens at Penn Relays too sometimes. So, I mean, it's safe, George. You don't want your, you know, bobbin dozen eggs coming out. You just wear your half tights and your
smart. And your
jersey. But no, I mean, the kit looked great. I was just interested to see how it was comfort wise.
Yeah.
No complaints.
Lovely to hear from George. Yeah.
Can't wait to slip into that thing.
Yeah, so me too. Everything's going to look great.
Yep.
Wore it for a nice long workout with Farkin afterwards.
Hey, what did you guys do post-race? Let the people know.
Classic incision.
It was exactly what me and you did last year.
Yeah, 10 by mile at 420. We toned it down a little bit from what we did last year.
True, because last year we were pretty crazy.
Yeah.
Feeling fit last year.
We whipped over to the river and did five. Well, apparently Ritz started talking. He was like five times, and Robert was like, "All right, five times K," and Ritz hit five times mile. And
so you only did K.
No, we did miles, but Robert was thinking he was going to say K's.
Oh God, poor Robert.
I think it's. And then four.
Go back to Europe, am I right?
Four times.
Dude, go back to the metric system, clown.
Four times a minute.
Four times a mini.
Dude, that
5 miles.
Four times 60.
That's a great workout right there.
The pin special.
Fantastic.
Post race.
That's the pin 15 special.
Yeah.
Do love
Flow Track will covering it too. That's on the extra subscription. You can watch George Beamish. And he was wearing the split shorts, I hear, from that workout. So if you guys want to pay a little bit extra to see some action there, just tune into Flow Track and subscribe.
I'm looking forward to wearing the splitties for a wee
stupid. Oh, we are all looking forward to it now after what we've heard. So
wait.
Yeah, it's going to be great.
Anticipation.
So that was pin, though.
A great few days out in Philly. Had a good time. Eat some lovely food, watch some good
track. What did you eat, Morgs? I don't know, coffee, food? Because you were more like the tourist.
Yeah, I was eating.
You were eating?
I was eating. I had a Philly cheesesteak.
Yeah.
It was good, a little bit overwhelming, I would say, which I think they often are. I had dim sum.
Nice.
Chinatown, pretty good. I had a couple of Montreal-style bagels.
Ooh.
Pretty yummy. I had some mush for breakfast before the workout. Shout out, please sponsor us. And then I can't remember I had Italian, really good Italian as well.
What does Cinta think of the Italian?
And your cheesesteak.
She liked it. I said cheesesteak.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
She liked it.
She liked it. She approved. All around good meals.
Nice.
And I got some good training in there as well, which was nice. Lots of running.
I got some FOMO back here. So
yeah.
I was very glad not to travel, but if I could teleport, I definitely would.
That should be invented soon, I guess.
The flight back is kind of brutal.
Yeah, it's just like you forget how far away Philly actually is from here. Because I looked at it and I was like, oof, 4 hours?
Yeah, like a 4-hour flight.
Yeah, that's tough.
That's
tough. But
pretty good chance we'll be there next year, though.
Well,
we'll run it back.
Mm-hmm. We'll wait and see. We'll wait and see.
Mm-hmm.
Depends on what happens with sponsorship stuff. But
what does that even mean?
Well, didn't you hear?
What?
Oh, I probably shouldn't announce this on the podcast. On's going to be sponsoring all the Grand Slams next year.
So we're going to all the Grand Slams.
Yeah. We're slamming on.
I cannot wait to get slammed.
We're getting on slammed.
Cannot wait.
No, that's just a joke. That's actually a joke. But can you imagine if On sponsored Grand Slam? That'd be the most brilliant thing ever. Wink, wink. On. Well,
Pin was so far away that Jared literally stayed out there to go to Grand Slam this week.
Yeah.
Crazy. So we're getting slammed again this week.
He's getting slammed this week.
Yeah. Speaking of
second slam,
slamming people, it's coming up. Friday, is it Saturday? Friday, Saturday, Sunday this week. Mm-hmm. Wow. That's tomorrow. If you're listening to this on the day it comes out, he's getting slammed right now, probably.
He's getting slammed.
It's actually the biggest event in Miami this weekend.
Yep.
Nothing
else going on.
Nothing.
No other races.
Nothing.
No motorsport. Not even
F1.
Yeah.
Nah, not even F1.
I don't think that's not Miami this weekend, so don't pay any attention to that.
Yeah. It's all about the Grand Slam.
I would worry more about the slam. I mean, there's a reason why Johnson & Johnson said we're doing it this week in Miami. This is like the best time to do it.
It's pretty, otherwise it's quiet.
Otherwise it's quiet.
Yeah, actually, I heard Lewis Hamilton's actually the starter. for all the races.
Yeah. I actually heard that they're subbing out all the slammers for the cars, and then they're putting all the car drivers into the
It's actually
the
pretty sad that they... Well, no.
So Yared's actually doing Formula
yeah,
One.
Yeah, Yared's driving Ferrari right now. Yeah.
He's driving...
Charles Leclerc's in the 815
yeah,
group.
Yeah.
I was going to try and make a Mario Kart joke there.
Yeah. Yared's carrying Tyro as a blue shell.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of the schedules because... Definitely Grand Slam would love to make their races go and like get in the paddock and stuff, but they're literally going to be racing at the same time.
Mm.
So it's not going to work out, unfortunately.
Do you think this is going to be good or bad for Grand Slam in the sense of popularity in Miami for people turning
Probably
up?
Bad. I mean, the F1, how can you compete with the F1?
You can't, but I was thinking if it was like...
I tried to schedule a coffee club meetup during the F1 in Vegas last year. No one came.
Really?
Yeah, no. Everyone was at the Grand Prix instead.
Far out.
Because
so, I was thinking if Membrane and Johnson Johnson were thinking, you know, this is the greatest circuit of all time. This is the champions against legends. This is the greatest thing ever. We'll just, you know, be able to piggyback off the F1 and maybe get some F1 people to come watch some actual racing, some pure racing.
It's just tough because you can't be in two places at once.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it would work
if the timing was off, like it was a bit delayed.
Johnson Johnson was doing chicken and he thought that F1 was going to back out of this whole weekend.
Oh, you would have scheduled the same time as us in the same city?
Johnson was like, they don't have the money for this.
No. Good luck.
They don't have the money for this.
And he's actually shocked that they followed through with
it. Hey, we might be calling this too early though. We could be completely wrong on this.
What?
If there's no one at F1, you know why.
Johnson & Johnson had paid them all $100,000 to go watch the slam.
Yeah, so we'll see how that plays out. I mean, I would expect Florida to... I mean, I've never heard of a race in Miami before, but I would expect Florida to have a lot of track fans.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping... I guess it's a big state though, so people live like far. I don't know. I hope there's a lot of people for this one. I'm sure it'll be cool.
I mean, they're both racing around the track. Like F1's a racing around
same
the track.
Difference.
When we go one storyline, we're looking forward to Grand Slam each.
My storyline.
We got something.
You go first.
My storyline is: can Sydney McLaughlin win again?
Is she doing the other event?
Yeah, she announced, I forgot, but she did announce her exact schedule. Maybe this one is the same one again.
Yeah, I'm not sure, but can she win again? It looked pretty close last time, so let's see if she can win again. No, I mean...
I think she's sticking with hurdles.
Honestly, the short sprints...
Yeah, I think she is sticking, and then I think she's going 4-2 and then short hurdles. I don't know.
The short sprints for the men actually would be pretty cool, because I'd love to see Kung Fu Kenny dominate everyone again. I mean, Fred Curley had an interesting 200, but... I'm keen to see the short sprint guys.
Yeah, I was going to make a mean joke about someone, but I'm not going to do that.
Nah, do it.
No,
I'll back it up. I'll say something worse, so then you're covered. I'll say something worse, and then you're covered.
My main storyline was going to see if Josh Kerr can break 150.
Well, did you see Josh Kerr's YouTube about Yared for the Grand Slam?
No.
There was a clip on Instagram. And it was like saying like, oh, we know what Yara's going to do. He has no tactics. He's just going to take it with 600 to go or something like that. And you just sit on him and then outkick him. And then there's a video of him just not being able to outkick Yara and getting Wyoming comes on the outside and just sprints past everyone. And there's also a funny clip of Jakob Ingebrigtsen at a car show. I don't know if you guys saw this.
Yeah, someone said
and he goes, Tesla Cybertruck. And he tapped it and he walked away.
Was it actually a Cybertruck?
Yeah, it was. He's like, oh, we're going to get a Tesla Cybertruck. And he like tapped it and he was joking. And he just walked off. But there's still some banter there. It's good to see the banter back and forth.
Who are the
They probably are so happy that Wang Yonyu is not there.
Yeah.
Because he was only a challenger.
Yeah, I was going to say he'd probably win again.
He probably would. So I think they're probably all
is,
very thankful.
Is Neil doing it again?
No, nah, all new challengers.
Oh,
Tim.
Really?
Our boy Tim.
Tim Chariot.
Fresh off training with the young Dutchies. Kith Botswanian. Hangura.
Oh, the guy who ran 330 in the African
A couple weeks ago.
Yeah. Is that guy? Jeez.
Yeah. He's also an 800 runner. He ran the final at the 800 at the Olympics.
I'm scared.
So he would be very dangerous.
Tshite, the South African dude, often takes races out very hard.
Mm-hmm.
And Pete Bowl.
That's crazy. Yeah. Pete Bowl is
Pete Bowl, Australian record, 143.
I'm looking forward to seeing Pete in this.
Well, Pete, honestly, the 15, if Pete can get as close as he can to that front pack in the 15, he will be very good in the 8.
Yeah, last time we showed that the 800 guys were ended up coming out on top. But yeah, that's kind of with an asterisk because Wanyonyi was in the race and he might be like one of the best 1500 meter guys in the world right now as well. So I think we'll see, but it sounds like there's some real good challenges lined up. But I don't know. I'm just excited to see Jared just because I know him.
Hmm. Yeah, I know him as well. He's pretty exciting. he also just, I know after getting beaten in the first slam, I think he's very motivated to win this one or win at least one of them. So wish him the best of luck.
Yeah. I know on the women's side, Claudia is going, which is pretty sick as well.
Yeah. It was funny because I was with Craig at the time when they were talking about it. And then they announced like the whole like image thing, like Grand Slam. Like, you know how they have all these like ridiculous stats? And then there's Claudia and just has no stats because she's never raced anyone in the field.
See, I was about to say that and I don't want to burst that bubble, but she is no longer on the start list.
Oh, what?
Oh, maybe something happened.
Damn. I was looking forward to
consider my bubble burst.
Because yeah, I was about to say another Australian after Pete, but it seems like that is maybe not the case any longer, unfortunately.
Hey, Merba, if you need another girl on the I can do it. Oh, just put wait, Josette, is Josette? No, Josette's not doing Miami, is she?
No.
She wants to do one of them, but she's not doing Miami.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully they find a spot. That sucks to hear Claudia out because she would look pretty good at Aussie Champs, so.
Yeah.
And some new challenges for Grant Fisher.
Oh, yeah, give us those.
Well, Kubatier's back for round two.
He ended up second.
Second.
Yeah.
And then
Koskaren? No, sorry, Hagos was second. He was maybe third.
Third, yeah.
Koskaren.
Interesting.
George Treadmills, Sam Atkin, local hero, and Dawit Sierra.
I'm really interested to see how they pick these people. I'm like very interested to see how they pick these people. Like, do they reach out?
They're all really good athletes.
Yeah, but do they reach out or do they pick, like, select?
I don't know.
I'm just curious.
Wheeling and dealing behind the scenes happens with the agents and them.
Yeah.
I feel like Hagos will do more of what he did it.
Yeah, in all seriousness, that is actually the story that I'm most excited for, is just to see Hagos see it come into fruition, him saying, I'm never letting a Grand Slam race be slow again. I am a 12:36 or 5 guy or whatever he is, 37. I'm going to go very fast all the time and I'm going to test it to the limits. And we did see that last time in the women's.
That's what the women did.
And it wasn't the women that did that absolutely crushed. The races were maybe not quite as exciting because of it, but I think on the men's side, they'll potentially be more exciting because it's going to be very hard to drop a few of those other people.
That will make it exciting, though, I think.
So it will be good if that's how it plays out.
Yeah.
But yeah.
When are they adding in long hurdles, George?
Longer hurdles.
Like the steeple 400 hurdles double or something?
Do you reckon you could beat Sydney McLaughlin in a 800 meter hurdle race?
800?
Yeah. Yeah, you would because hurdles are like, you just step over.
Yeah, do I get her tiny hurdles?
Yeah, you get her little hurdles, yeah.
800, definitely. Could I beat her at her event? I want to say definitely not.
Will she run 50 point?
I think 50 flat. Like, no.
Yeah, she runs a crazy 400 hurdles.
That would be very hard to do.
I've heard that too.
Especially out of blocks. Like, nah, I'm told me that. That's not happening.
What do you get to run? You get to run into it. You get to run into it. You don't have to be in the blocks.
Still not happening. 25s over hurdles. I mean, at least
but
not
her hurdles.
That would help. That would help.
If it was her hurdles, yeah.
If it was the men's hurdles, I'm probably not finishing.
I don't know if I could get through like 100 meters.
Those go up to my chest.
Yeah. The men's hurdles are insane. It's insane how hard they are.
Could I beat like Rye Benjamin in the 800 hurdles?
That would be a great race.
Well, no, Carsten Warholm would probably be way better at the 8.
Yeah, he would probably be a very big challenge.
He does like tempo runs.
He's been doing
he does longer
like 20
reps.
Minutes threshold.
Yeah.
That's actually more than we do.
Norwegian method. Yeah.
Does he actually do that? I don't know.
I think he does. Maybe them broken up more. He probably doesn't run them as quickly
as us. He's a big guy, though. Surely he's not running too much at threshold because he needs to keep muscle on.
I think like once a week or something. I don't know. Wait, are you saying the running threshold makes you lose muscle?
Yeah. My butt's gone. I got no butt anymore because I
didn't. You never did.
Yeah, when did you
have
a
butt? You take that back, George.
No, I'm not going to.
Dude, I had a great butt and then double
threshold. You absolutely did not.
I did. I had the best butt in the team.
Like, what year are we talking?
We're talking since 2020.
Since 2020.
Yeah, I had the best butt. And now it's gone.
I'm going to look at some more pictures.
Hey, you've got some photos on there. I know that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have some actually really good pictures that I can check. We'll see.
I got the, I had the best butt in the team.
All right. So that's the Grand Slam. The worst preview.
Well, the 8:15, my interesting take on that is obviously more weeks have passed. Training has come through. I'd be interested to see how, on all seriousness, how Josh Kerr and Cole Hawker do, because it does seem like it's very early in the year. So they're just kind of probably building up. They're obviously not at their 100%. So it'd be cool to see them keep progressively getting better and better each time they get slammed.
It'll be another drip check.
Oh, dude, that orange, was it orange? No, it was green. That green suit that Josh was wearing.
Coffee Club.
He looked like a Batman villain. Do you reckon? He looked like the Riddler.
I hope there's another drip check.
There better be another drip check.
Yeah. I mean, as you said, I think those storylines will be ultimately the most entertaining things, is the links between the different.
If one of you guys do a slam, George, you should just do the Coffee Club apron. No shirt.
Genius. Genius.
No brainer.
And no pants either.
And this is the first time that Grand Slam truly goes head to head with the Diamond League on the same weekend.
Mm. Oh, it does.
So this is where
I don't know if that happens again.
China round two, baby.
China round two.
I bet it does. I don't know.
They've gone up the road to Shanghai.
Shenzhen. Is it Shanghai?
It says Shanghai / Kikui. Kikui. Right,
I'm wrong.
The first. Wait. Then.
I think the first one was in Xiamen.
Xiamen. And now we got Shanghai / this other place. It says.
Because last year, the second one that I did was in, I don't know, it's confusing. It was in Shenzhen, which is like connected to Shanghai.
Maybe they just call it this, but it actually is that
one.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Probably just because it's more notable.
So I think it's been actually in Shanghai before though as well. So maybe it is back there. Who knows? Either way, we do have some more great races coming up. Last weekend, we had Sage in the 1K. Running a 2:34, was it three? Three, sorry.
Even two.
I don't think it was.
Was it three?
I think it was three. I'm going to go 33.
Why are you asking me?
And she did well. She came fourth, I believe.
Yeah. No.
I want to say 2:32.
I'm going with two.
Jordy's got it up.
I'm
Jordy
sticking
knows.
With 33.
I'm sticking right. with.
Can, you two. Can we check?
I'm sure he's got it. Can. He's got it.
No, this is the start list for the eight that she's also in this week. She's gone 1K, 800 double.
Oh, she came
good
third.
Good old Sage.
She came third, I think. 2:33.
Definitely fourth. Because the Aussies went 2:3. Yeah. It was Faith and then Abby and Georgia.
No, Sarah. Sarah Billings.
Sarah Billings.
Okay. Fourth, 2:33. Final answer, lock it in.
Fourth, 2:32.
Ollie, what's your guess?
2:33.
Good guess.
And she's going up against a similar field, but not Faith. Faith's gone back to train for her sub four.
Yeah, she's going to work with the robots. Getting back to it.
But Eddie Wiley's over there. Sarah Billings stayed.
Yeah, I think most of them stayed to do these amazingly stacked.
Are you looking this up, Ollie?
No, I'm on Instagram. Sorry, I just saw.
There's also a crazy men's 5K.
Oh, yeah.
Crazy because there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. There's only 19 people now, but there
at
were...
At one point, there was 24.
There was, like, almost 25 a few days ago, which was crazy. But there's still some crazy people in it, including a late ad, Jude Thomas, by the looks of it, Aussie bloke, Keita Sato, our training partner of recent years.
Well, he hasn't been a training partner for a while.
From Japan, and a bunch of other guys. It's going to be...
Talahun. Yeah.
Apparently it's going to be Josie. It's going to be insanely hot and humid.
Yeah, this classic.
Oh, there's a 3K steeple.
Did you not? Have you still not found this?
Matthew Clarkson,
and I'm
from Australia. Yeah. Wow, this is a massive steeple field. Holy
all
fuck.
The fields are all
that's
so big.
So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18. In a 3K steeple, does that seem like a lot to you?
That's quite a lot.
Yeah. But holy fuck.
The steeple last week was pretty epic.
Yeah, well, I didn't catch that one.
Furuwu, Ethiopian guy, nabbed Al Bakali on the line, basically.
Al Bakali got beaten.
Al Bakali got beaten again.
That's huge.
He lost the Diamond League final, and he lost the first Diamond League of the year. And they were like 8 over 6, I think, and 12th place was 8-12.
Yes.
So 12 guys in like 5 or 6 seconds, which made me really want to get back into Diamond League steeple. Like, yep. Seems like it's going to be
Your time is coming.
Don't worry, Jordy, you will.
Seems like it's going to be a really cool year of like lots of deep steeple races, and they're going. It's a bummer that they're having 2 of the Diamond League steeples in China in 7 days. So it's basically a repeat of the race.
Yeah.
This weekend again. Which is kind of makes sense because they're all out there, but it's a bummer because they only have so many Diamond League steeples in a year, 5 to be exact, before the final, which isn't very many. And so 2 of them are in China, so then there's only 3 more for the rest of the year.
Yeah, it's very early to have 2 of them.
Yeah, and it's the first 2 of the whole year, so that makes it slim pickings after this. But that'll be a fun one to follow.
Yeah.
What do you got
for us, Ollie?
Find what? Well, I was looking at the results, yeah.
What was the answer?
For Sage, I thought we already talked about it.
What were you doing?
I was looking at the men's 400 because Quincy, the young teenager, he's running his first time. Is he his first time in the league? In the 400.
Are you sure? There's no way. He's in high school.
He's running it. He's in it.
In China?
Yeah, he's in China.
He was just racing at Penn.
I don't believe you for one second.
Hey, I just looked at it, okay?
I don't believe you either. Okay, you know there's two Quincy's.
Quincy Hall, Olympic champ.
Well, they're both named Quincy.
You're a fan.
Is it Quincy Wilson? Or was it Quincy Hall?
That's terrible coverage right there.
Quincy Wilson, sorry. Sorry. All right. Programming results.
That is, he just dropped out of Grand Slam for good, though. That's also the storyline.
It says that I'm not allowed to access this.
Was he a racer?
Mm-hmm. And he pulled out of the first one, and then he got replaced. So now they made Stephen Gardner, whatever his name is, a racer.
Oh, I wonder why.
Yeah, drama. That's crazy. Maybe not drama, I don't know.
He probably was on a really big contract.
You would assume so, but he's decided to go to Shanghai instead of Miami.
Maybe they're paying better there, I don't know. Crazy.
So that is really a battle between Diamond League and
Grand Slam. Yeah, it's not letting me see it. It says you have no permission to access this page.
They've specifically banned Ollie from looking at the Diamond League result.
Yeah, I can't look at it.
That's tough, bro. But anyway, China Diamond League, it's all going down for the second weekend. Sage, as we already mentioned, is going back to battle in the 800, hoping to put out another great performance.
It was
2:33.
See, I told you I knew.
Yeah, it took you 10 minutes. It took you 10 minutes to not find it.
No, but I couldn't get on it. So there's no permission. I don't want to like break the Chinese law or something to get permission. But I was correct,
that's
George.
That's really fair.
So say Ollie was right. Say it. Say Ollie was right.
Ollie was really dumb at finding the result.
No, Ollie was right. I was 2:33, baby. I was right.
So to close out this show, I think we should just... We're not going to get into too much depth because we've been going on for a little bit, but the London Marathon also happened this past weekend. And as per usual, absolutely amazing race. Probably the thing that I was most excited for was to see Kiplimo's debut, because he's coming off running a time that I still haven't wrapped my head around in the half marathon of sub 57, I think it was. And he succeeded. He did amazing. Second place, I think 2:03, beaten by Sebastian Sawe in what was a great race. And Kipchoge actually had a little comeback.
That was huge.
2:05, I believe.
2:05 for 5th.
That's huge.
Very respectable.
After a couple of tough ones.
How old is he?
I want to say like 41.
Yeah, he's not young.
Okay, what are you going to be doing at 41, boys? Running 2:05?
2:04, probably.
Yeah, I was going to say, what did he run? Yeah, a little bit quicker. That's the goal right there. We had Alex Yee. This is a very
exciting
storyline for us because we kind of know him and we paid a lot of attention to him.
I pretend that I know him. Like, yeah,
so do I.
So I do as well. If it's not like someone that knows that well, I'll say yeah.
I've never actually met him, but I pretend like that we're like bros.
Yeah,
fan of the pod.
But yeah, we are big fans of his. He's an amazing runner. He always has been. He's the reason why not the only reason, but a big reason why he's the Olympic champion right now in the triathlon. And we had been paying attention to his recent training block, and it was very successful. I would say 2:11, but not just 2:11. I think he was about 11th place as well. Like he placed pretty well, which is pretty awesome. He might have even been the top Brit, which is second Brit. So that's like really impressive in your home country's marathon when it's such a big one. I think he was aiming for a sub 210. I think I saw an interview. He was kind of like 207 or 210. But to be fair, like,
did you see his workout? Like his last thong?
I didn't watch it.
He did 30K at 305s.
That's very impressive.
It was like sub 5 minute pace for just under 20 miles.
That sounds tough.
That's pretty legit.
Where was he? Do you know?
No clue.
Was he at altitude?
No. I wasn't paying that much attention. Still, I just saw it. It seemed like he was going to run good, and he ran good.
He done so, did that.
It would be sweet, especially if he's going back triathlon. Like, maybe he's not going to do another one. Oh, maybe. He probably will at some point. But for a while, it would have been, I'm sure he would have loved to just be able to be a 2.0 guy immediately.
Yeah, it would have been a big, like, 209, flex, right? Massive flex.
209 just sounds so much better than any of the alternatives.
Mm-hmm.
So does 205 sounds better than 209, doesn't
159?
It?
No, but it's not that much better. Because there's still an O. The 5 is pretty good. But 209 sounds a lot better than 210.
Compared to 2...
Well, it is,
it's
a minute,
like 329.
It is a minute better.
It's like 329 330
yeah.
In the 1500, you know?
It's a second better.
No, but it's not.
But it sounds,
it's a barrier.
It sounds more better.
That's like saying, that's like saying 359 in the mile is only like half a second better than 4 flat. If you've never done it before, it's a lot more than that.
Mm. Faith is going to be enjoying that when she does sub 4. Shout out, sub 4 attempt.
And on the women's side in London, we had, I hope I don't butcher the name, Tsitsitsk Assefa, Ethiopian lady. She broke the women's only marathon record, got a big payday, running 2:15, I think it was. Amazing performance from her. She crushed everyone. I mean, I think they must have gone so fast.
150,000 Benjamins for that world record.
Yeah. Is it Benjamins or King Charles?
I think this one was Benjamins. I think it was a different number in King Charles's.
Mm. I think her overall payday was above 300.
300 big ones?
Yeah, 300 big ones. Yeah, it was a big one. It was very good.
Imagine getting all that in pennies.
Be crazy.
You'd be like Donald Duck diving into the pennies.
Yeah.
Well, so, I'm not sure how I feel about the women's only versus...
George, tell us what you think.
I'm not sure.
I feel like there should only be a women's only record.
Yeah.
Don't you, like, why are we, why, you know?
Yeah.
Then, like, why doesn't Kipchoge's record count?
But, well, that's a different reason.
Because
he had
paces
come in and out. If he had only been paced by paces that didn't come in and out, I would accept it.
Otherwise, we could just have, like, we could make up so many categories.
Because, well, the reason it annoys me is because then there's, like, a discrepancy between, like, well, at some point in time, we're going to see track women's records that are paced by men.
I guess the main difference is that in some races, they just start both races together. And so you can't technically separate them. But in London, they like make sure the women start first.
I think a lot of the majors, they do separate them though.
But not Chicago, obviously, because that's the world record, right?
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. And like not Berlin, maybe. But even, yeah. I don't think it's.
But they're 6 minutes different.
Yeah.
That's absurd.
Yeah.
No, it's not that.
Well,
it's like,
that's
it's
like the craziest one of the. That's, you know, like the craziest
two,
record out
210
there.
210 to 209. Like, it's a different sound, but it's not that crazy.
It is like the women's marathon world record is like the craziest record out there right now as well.
What is it, 209?
Yeah.
I think so. It's just. Doesn't make any sense.
So they ran 2 minutes faster than Alex Yee, Olympic champion in the triathlon.
But
that's
they ran
actually crazy.
And she ran 6 minutes faster than the girl who just made 150 grand for a world record.
Yeah. But I think that's, I don't understand why they ended up allowing men's pacemaking for the women's.
You're going to be pacing Sinter at some point, bro. So you just got to, you know, you got to lock in for that.
If I'm getting this,
Then you're going to split. You can split the 300 grand when she wins it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like then Sawe just should have had a bike pacing,
exactly.
Or not in London, obviously.
No, like a mini, like a black cab, because in London have a black cab.
I don't know.
I appreciate that opinion because it is an issue. Like for it's,
I don't know if
it's
an issue.
No, but it is just such a difference that like they become hard to compare. The fact that for the men's record, the max that they're going to be able to pace because of human limitations, like the max someone's ever going to be able to pace for the men's record is what, 30K, let's say. And even that would be like, I don't know, like that's pretty amazing if you could find someone that could run 30K at that pace as a pacer that's not racing. Whereas the women's record, they run 42K with them.
Mm.
So it's just like,
they just peel off at the end.
Yeah, it's just like, it's just a big asterisk.
It is, yeah.
And like us, the one of the big, you know, things we always say about sport, our sport is that, like, we need to simplify it to make it easier for less invested fans as us.
For more simple
follow.
People.
Like and it me. Just makes it, it's like, even,
bro, I watched the coverage of the women's, well, I guess, yeah, there was the starter together in the Valencia. I think this was the 10K I was watching, and
was also a women's world record.
Every time this is mixed.
Oh, didn't the 10K world record just be broken too this weekend?
That was at the
oh, different Adidas. Sorry.
But I'm just saying, I watched the Valencia race, the 10K, the one where Andreas won, and then every time they went to the camera of the lead woman, it was just a pack of 15 men, and she was somewhere in that pack. And that's what the race was. It's just like, oh, okay. Like, it's an amazing achievement. It doesn't take anything away, but...
Yeah, it's still hard to run that, but it's just, it's easier when you have bodyguards around you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It just changes the dynamic a bit. Yeah. But it's still so amazing, 209. It's crazy.
I mean,
so.
Yeah. When are you going to debut your marathon, George? What's the
soonest one I can do?
The Auckland Marathon in... Boulder. The Boulderthon.
Oh, the Boulderthon.
Is it Boulderthon or Boulder? Yeah, Boulderthon.
Charlie, that the half Ironman is soon if you want to dip your toes in the water with that.
Yeah,
I'd love to dip my toes into anything. I think I'm going to annoy Dathan and just not do a marathon and go straight into triathlon Ironman.
Straight into Ironman specifically?
Yeah.
Fair enough. Why not? Go the whole way. If you're going to do it.
Well, what I'm going to do is I'm going to get Mike Smith to coach me for the running. Then I'm going to get Jerry to coach me for the swimming. And then I'm going to get Jijit to coach me for the bike.
Okay. And Dathan just is like your mental coach or what?
Dathan's...
Like life. He's your life coach?
The only time Dathan's coaching me is at the race.
Your race day coach?
Yeah, he's my race day coach. He gets all the rewards as well.
It's an elite coaching team.
He gets all the rewards as well. Like no one will know about Jerry and Mike and Jijit. It's just Dathan. Dathan's actually head of them. He like controls what they do for the training.
He coaches the coaches.
He coaches the coaches, particularly for the swim and the bike. With him and Mike are pretty close, so they just talk about stuff.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, but that's my plan. I'm not going to do a marathon major. Thanks for asking, George.
Hey, you're welcome. On that note, I think we can start to wind down and say goodbye to all our lovely, lovely fans. Again, possibly this will just transition into our fun live show that we did, or it'll be something separate. But either way, thank you guys so much for listening to another episode of the pod. It's been lovely having you. And we look forward to seeing you guys again next week. Bye-bye.